In Jesus' mighty name. Now, we established yesterday that the spirit realm is legalistic. It operates by several laws. Are you with me? I was in Kano during the riot. Amen. Can you reduce the volume a little? During the riot in Kano, a man took a knife, pierced the tummy of a pregnant woman. The two twins in her stomach came out. The woman died. The man that pierced became mad instantly. He violated a law. The spirit realm is governed by laws. And until we understand these laws and how to function with them, we might be guilty of trespass unawares. Now, there are several things and there are certain things that a spiritual man must understand. And we must understand that these laws cannot be compromised. Hallelujah. And that's why David said, "Open thou my eyes that I may know your law." By that, he was trying to make us understand that it is only by revelation that you can know the laws that govern the spirit realm. Are you with me now? Now, the Bible gives us insight into a lot of these laws. Amen? We are going to be looking at certain laws that govern the spirit realm so that you will not be guilty of trespass. The devil is a lawyer. That's why the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He understands the laws of the spirit realm. Are you still with me? I say, are you here? We went to pray for a lady that could not take in. She was married for about 3 years, and she could not take in. When we began to pray, the Lord gave us insight. I went with my friend, the prophet. He's a seer. Amen. And as we were praying, he touched me. And he said he's seeing a balloon and two broomsticks piercing the balloon, that the woman is guilty of abortion. And the demon that she sacrificed the child to is standing behind her and resisting her from taking in. Whenever you violate a spiritual law, it is most likely that the devil will leverage on that violation. All right? To influence an area of your life. Now, people just live loose without the understanding of the fact that there are several actions that will have consequences if you don't know how to restitute those actions effectively. Believe you me, the devil will exploit it. Hallelujah. So when we saw that it was a situation of abortion that hindered her being able to take in, we had to lead her in a prayer of repentance. First of all, she had to confess that sin, acknowledge it. In fact, the husband just knew that day that there was such an event in her life. He almost fainted. So we now, the prayer point changed. Hallelujah. The prayer point did what? It changed. It was the man we were praying to revive first. Because some laws were violated. Are you with me? I say, are you with me? Yes, nobody wants to hold you responsible. Nobody is saying that, hey, my past, all of... No, we don't want to know about that. But you see, if there is a particular past that has encroached upon a particular law, we need to know it so that we can help you remove the legal ground that the devil is going to take. Because he will always take every opportunity that he has because he's a lawyer. He understands the laws of the spirit realm. And he will take advantage of every opening in order to see that people are ensnared. Do you understand that? Okay. You also, as a preacher, must understand these laws and how to legally remove the ground upon which the devil is standing and a ground upon which demons are operating. That's the way you can bring redemption. Is a powerful thing. Do you understand that? Are you with me? Are you still here? Now, I need you to understand that redemption is first of all legal before organic. Please help me preach. Redemption is first of all legal before organic. Now, I use the word organic because I could not find any other word in the dictionary that can express what I wanted to say. Organic, life, life infusing. In order for you to receive the life of the Holy Spirit, which is the organic dimension, the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of your spirit man, that's the organic dimension, the life-giving dimension. Before the life-giving dimension was possible, first of all, the legal dimension had to be established. Because the realm of the spirit is legal. Even in redemption, God had to satisfy the claims of divine justice. And that's why Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient potential to save any kind of man. We must understand how to apply the potential of redemption in taking away the ground that the devil is claiming in order for demonic activities to control an area of a believer's life. Do you get what I'm talking about this morning? Now, you might, most believers claim, you can sit down, you're welcome in the name of Jesus. Most believers claim and think that just because you have given your life to Christ, I'm good, I'm okay. That's the greatest deception of the enemy. Because you must function as a lawyer. And you must know how to restitute several things in the spirit realm so that you disallow the devil of the ground that you would have taken advantage of. Now, we are going into very technical issues this morning. I'd like your attention. I'd like you to stay with me. Stay with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Stay with me. Now, I may need to share with you a little of my credentials so that you will understand that I'm not just making what I'm teaching up. Many years ago, if you share the things I'm sharing this morning to me, I will not believe it. Because I believed that once you just give your life to Christ, even if you don't enforce the potential of redemption in areas where the devil is actually illegally operating, even if you don't enforce it, I felt it will just automatically break and then you are just free. If any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He's giving you, those scriptures are legal scriptures. All things have passed away. That means prior grounds that the devil is taking advantage of to hold sway in our lives. Prior grounds. By reason of the potential of redemption, those prior grounds have been reclaimed. But you will have to execute the power or implement the potential of redemption by knowledge of what redemption actually is and the range of benefits that we have access to. And you must also know how to apply it and also how to reclaim the ground that the devil is leveraging upon to have dominion and control over an area of our life. I found that conclusively also based on encounters that I had with Jesus that anybody can be healed of any kind of sickness any kind of disease, any kind of reproach of the devil can be overturned, and liberty can actually be administered if you understand how to implement and take advantage of the full scope of the legal dimension of redemption, and to implement it in the area of demonic dominion in our lives. I would like to still move beyond this plane. Now, we need 2 months to finish this topic and do justice to it as much as we have received insight. Amen? But it's critical. It's very critical. And as we progress in the study, you'll come to realize that a Christian doesn't have that kind of liberty to just do anything he wants to do. Amen? Doesn't have that liberty. Operating under the government of God is a definite spiritual thing. And that's the only place and only possibility for us to find security and consistent victory in Christ Jesus. If you are still here, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we are going to go deeper this morning, and I want everybody that is present here to be focused, and I trust that God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. All right. First of all, I will need to educate us a little. Before I go into my subject, I'll have to educate us a little. Amen. Okay, let me give an example here. No, am I to give the example now? Okay, I'll give the example later when we commence our teaching. Can we bow our heads for a congregational prayer? So bow your heads. I want you to ask God for understanding and insight this morning. That God will grant unto you understanding, grant unto you insight, and empower you with the knowledge that you need to identify the areas that the devil has actually been masquerading and taking dominion of your life and shortchanging you. And also that God will empower you with the knowledge that you need to see the treachery of demonic oppression in the lives of other people so that you can bring deliverance to them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please, as we go into law, we have a lawyer. My friend Ode. Now, if we and Ogbe, all the lawyers, you are hereby acknowledged in Jesus' mighty name. We will be making reference to several things, but this is spiritual. The spiritual realm and spiritual legal system is different from the natural one. All right, let me tell you how different. In the natural legal system, you can actually bamboozle people because of the aspects of the constitution that are not very explicit. Those are gray areas. And in the law, or in the practice of law, you must understand the reference point of the legal system in every land, in every nation, in every kingdom, in every territory. And the reference point of the legal system is normally called the grand norm. And as far as the Nigerian situation is concerned, even though our legal system needs healing from Jesus, but as far as the Nigerian system is concerned, our constitution is the grand norm. Every issue of law holds the constitution as a reference. Do you understand that? Now, in the spirit realm, every issue of law holds the word of God as the reference. In fact, the word of God is so strong that if God should utter it, first of all, it cannot be revoked. Okay? Goes into law. And secondly, even God himself becomes subject to the laws he proclaims. You see that now? Now, whereas the constitution might have gray areas, which are very fruitful battlefields for lawyers, your capacity of argument, your versatility and experience might leverage on those gray areas in order to secure judgment for your client. But in the spirit realm, there are no gray areas. It's white
and black.
No gray. But in Nigerian law, most often the grays are much more than the white and black. Somebody say, God have mercy. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Now, we need to start by establishing some things. And as we establish, you'll see that there are no gray areas. No gray areas. Please help me tell your neighbor, no gray areas. Number two, before we begin, as you begin to grow more in God, there is a symptom that manifests in your life. So grow more in God. God will lead you in such a way that your life will start becoming more narrow. Hallelujah. Your life will start becoming what? More narrow. I assure you, not everything is important. Even things that are permissible by God, you will just find out that even though it is permissible, it is not important. Your life will start going narrow. And God will begin to request that several areas of your life will function this way, that way. All right? Now, how many of you have club loyalties? Man U, Chelsea, all of that. That's great. Hey, man. Let's. All right. So where do you belong? Barcelona. All right. Don't deny me now. Don't deny me. Where do you belong? Chelsea. That's great. But you see, I came to a point, or I've come to a point in my walk with God where God says, soccer, no. So I don't have a club. Is it wrong? It's not wrong. And I'm not saying you stop yours. No, just move and respond to God's instructions for your life part time. Do you get it? And as you advance with God, the nature of the spirit realm will be superimposed on your lifestyle. Very soon you'll find out that no gray areas are in your life. Because the spirit realm and the nature of the spirit realm that you are navigating in will find expression in your lifestyle. And God is going to bring you to a point where you are narrowed down to that which is your core essence of existence upon the face of the earth. Are you still with me now? I say, are you still with me? Because if you remain in the field and scope of your core essence of existence, you find out that temptations are going to be fewer and grace is going to be more abundant. And that's where God is leading you. But he will not cut things out of your life just in one day. He will address this area. He will address that area. What he's doing is that he's trying to synchronize you with the laws of the spirit realm so that at every point in time, there will be no ground in your life that the devil can lay claim to in order to either afflict you or afflict an area of your life. Remember, the spirit realm is legalistic. Legalistic. Now, my learned colleagues in the house, you know that these days is you need half a legion of barristers and in order to prove that an election is actually supposed to be given to a particular party or not. Because the gray areas are many. And so the loopholes, you can navigate. You can navigate. But in the spirit realm, it is not like that. It is white or what? Black. Now, so it is either God or what? Or the devil. Please, I'd like you to be very conscious of this foundation. Because as we build what we are going to be building into our daily life, you will find out that the average believer commits what we call trespass. Trespass. And when you commit a trespass, in the spirit realm, your actions have been weighed in the balances already. And the devil knows at what point he has right to have some influence over your life. Because I know that you normally claim that, okay, if we give our lives to Christ, it's all said and done. But you don't know the realm you're operating. And I've been able to conclusively prove to myself that believers can be demonized. Believers cannot be possessed. Because when we talk about possession, there's an element of ownership attached to it. And there are only two ways by which you can own a man. One, you buy a man. And that's the way that God uses for us. He bought us with the price of our blood. Of his blood, sorry. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
He bought us with the price of his blood. But he will not force you to submit absolutely to him. Your submission to him absolutely should derive from a realization of the fact that you are his property. And since you are reasonable, you want to start, you want to devote, consecrate yourself, your resources, your worldly goods, your endowments and talents to serve his way. That's what a reasonable person would do upon the realization of the fact that he has been bought. Do you get that now? There's another way ownership can be claimed by a spirit on a man. If the man, like you and me, you have a faculty called your will, and consciously you decide to surrender your will, by an act of your will, you dedicate yourself to a spirit, the spirit can claim ownership of you. See that now? So we have people that are serving idols. It's not as if they don't know that there is a God that is superior to the gods that they are serving, but by an act of their will, they have said, this is where I want to go. The spirit claims ownership of them. You know, once in a while, it's good for you to have some experience in the field preaching the gospel to people that speak for Satan. Many times when your gospel is so powerful and convincing, they might even tell you, okay, behold my children, preach to them, get them saved. But for me, this is where I belong. It's an act of his will. You have been able to prove he has seen it spiritually. That yes, he can come out of this, and what you are offering is superior to what he has. But he still decides. I hope you know there's nothing you can do about that. So that's the only two ways by which a spirit can claim ownership of a human being. Get it now? So, even though Jesus has bought us with the price of his blood, he looks to you to become reasonable so that you can submit yourself to serve his will. And if you are a believer and you decide that, okay, I believe I know how to run my life more than Jesus can recommend to me, and I want to be in charge, but I like your salvation anyway, he will not take his salvation from you. But the point is that you are going to live your life at your own expense. You protect yourself. So it's your own business. What happens to you? And that's a good bargain too, because God will allow you to have your way. But the only thing is this, when you are living your Christian life without being consecrated to serve the will of God, you have even committed trespass already. The curses operating in your family, many things will be happening in your life because the devil has many legal grounds that he can take advantage of to affect you and afflict you. And the only possibility of living free of these operations of the kingdom of darkness is when you are consecrated to serve the will of God. Are you still with me now? Please help me preach again. A normal Christian is different from a consecrated Christian. And I need you to understand that in Nigeria, 80% of Christians are normal Christians. They are not consecrated to serve the will of God. They are abnormal Christians. They are not reasonable. Because after that, it has become common fact that Jesus paid for them with the price of his blood. They still decide that, okay, I know you paid for But I want to do my own business. I want to do my own thing. So in the pastoring work, in pastoral ministry, I found out that the greatest challenge in pastoral ministry is that believers refuse to consecrate to serve the will of God. Maybe because of their beauty. Oh my God. But you see, every endowment you have, your beauty, your intellect, your talent, was supposed to be used to serve the will of God. You must understand that. And if there is any legal ground that you have opened to the devil any time in your life, and the devil wants to leverage upon, I'll show you how to take away that legal ground and how to stand free of such an influence, even though you made a mistake some time ago. That potential finds expression in redemption, but it must be enforced. Are you still with me here today? Now, so, first of all, we need to establish no gray areas. Because of this, I need to tell you clearly this morning, just in case you are confused, there are only two sources of supernatural power. So, the title of the scope of the lecture I'll be bringing your way is Sources of Supernatural Power. Sources of Supernatural Power. Now, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because of the way ministry is now. You understand that as we progress. Sources of supernatural power. There are just two sources. Somebody help me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Turn your Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Amen.
This is New Living Translation.
I don't like that. Change it.
Thank you.
Don't bring New Living Translation for Bible study.
Chapter 2, verse 18.
You can use New Living Translation to enlighten yourself in your own private study.
For through him...
Wait. Because of this New Living Translation you have mentioned, we are going to do something tomorrow. In New Living Translation. We are going to do something tomorrow. We are going to bring all the translations of the Bible here tomorrow. All the ones we can lay our hands upon. And I will show you some scriptures, some translations that were written by unbelievers. And they are proof. The proof of that, I will show you. So please, don't trouble us with. Right? I will show you translations. And you will see things that were done to the Bible to mutilate it, so as to hide the truth of Scripture. And I'm not by any means in that trying to make you stop using your translations. But after the lecture, 30-minute lecture, I'll show you translations that hold the true perspective of biblical truth. And you'll find out that many translations were even written by occultists. So please, give me my old King James in the name of Jesus.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18.
Ephesians 2, 18. Please, talk. Let's hear you.
Yeah. For through him...
Through him...
We both have access by one Spirit...
Now, what this? The Bible says, through Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit. Okay, go on.
Unto the Father.
Unto the Father. That's the... Now, see, these are legal scriptures. I can't successfully dissociate the terminologies of Scripture, the perspective, the nature, the character, the spirit of Scriptures from its legal framework. The Bible says that through Jesus, on the account of the things that Jesus did, the only possibility that we have available to access the Father is by one Spirit. Now, the other day during the prayer meeting, we were trying to give a background to the people that came for prayer about the things we'll be emphasizing this weekend. Amen? And I called one of our sisters. I asked her, Where is your pay point? She says, UBA. Who pays you? Benue State Government. Now, so who is paying? Benue State Government. Do you get that now? But where does she receive her money? UBA. Is it UBA that is paying? No, but that's where she receives what the state government is paying. Jesus is the administrator of the Godhead. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He's the administrator of the Godhead. It's Jesus as the administrator that goes to pay for what you get to receive. Do you get it now? He's the administrator. He makes all the payments. He makes all the deals. He runs all the deals. But if you are going to get the effect of the deals and the payments, if you are going to receive the effect of the payments, you receive the effect of the things he has paid for through the Holy Ghost. But you see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is predicated on the deals that Jesus has accomplished. So it is actually through Jesus that the payment is coming from, but the pay point is the Holy Spirit. Do you get it now? I said, did you get it?
Yes, sir.
All right, so the pay point is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the personality that comes to administer the things that have been paid for in when Jesus satisfied the claims of divine justice. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of Jesus can never be disagreeing, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is an extension, a fulfillment of everything that Jesus paid for. And the Bible now is saying that through Christ, by the Holy Ghost, and he said by one Spirit, that just trying to make you understand that just in case another spirit comes now and claims that he also has ability to administer the things that Christ has paid for, that spirit is a lying spirit. Because the Bible says through Christ and by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. Somebody say, through Christ. And by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. Now, you see, if you follow the sequence of the things we treat month after month, there's a relationship. That's why we had to study reality last time. And we were able to establish that we have divine reality and we have what? Demonic reality. And I said that in the realm of the spirit, the legal system of the spirit realm has no gray areas. It's either white or black. And now the Bible is saying that through Christ and by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. So access to God is in one way and one way only. One way and one way only. You just need to understand that. Okay? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And that's why there's no need for advertisement. If you by any means appear before the Father, then you came through me. You get that now? All right. So there's only one source of what? Of access to the Father. The source of access to the Father is through Jesus Christ and by one Spirit. And I like those things to be in their proper places. Because the spirit of error operating in these last days actually is seeking to masquerade and to make people believe that another spirit can administer the things that Christ has paid for. You see, and they actually, the Bible says that just as the devil can be transformed into an angel of light, his ministers also are transformed into ministers of righteousness. Now, see, what the devil is trying to achieve is this: if he can masquerade enough for you to think that, yes, I can also lead you to the Father. His ministers masquerade enough for you to also call them ministers of righteousness. So you will now be seeking to access God or seeking to make contact with God through their ministry. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Through the opening, the dimensions that they make available to you. And because they are so transformed, and that word transformed in the Greek is metamorpho. That is where we derive the word metamorphosis. Are you still with me now? Now, let us take a refresher course on metamorphosis. We find metamorphosis being in the cycle of the sessafly. Am I okay? All right. You know, it's so long, I may make mistakes, you know. The sessafly, first of all, lays an egg. And the egg becomes what? Larvae. And then it becomes what? A pupa before it becomes an adult. Now, so, if you see the configuration of the egg, it's different from the larvae. It's like another different thing entirely. Different from the pupa. Then different from the adult. But that is the cycle of metamorphosis. That means that if you can trace the sessafly, you can actually trace it to the egg. Are you with me? Now, see, these ministers of darkness that masquerade as ministers of righteousness, you find their secret when you trace them to their foundation. Oh, you are not with me. Now, in your video, does it have the rewind function? The reason why it has a rewind function is so that you can trace the storyline to where you left off the last time. If you are going to know the credibility of a minister, you must trace him into the past. And I'm telling you a way by which you can identify that minister, just in case you are not operating in the gift